This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Lisa Edwards? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. In 2018, a woman named Lisa Edwards moved from Tennessee to Rhode Island. In August of 2019, she had a stroke, which impaired her functioning, especially on the left side of her body. She moved into a nursing home in Rhode Island. On February 4, 2023, Lisa Edwards flew to Knoxville, Tennessee. During the flight, she complained of abdominal pain. When the plane landed, she was transported to a hospital, diagnosed with constipation, and discharged. Lisa then sought additional treatment at the Fort Sanders Regional Medical Center, which is also in Knoxville. She was admitted and observed overnight. The next day, February 5, at 6:55 a.m., 61-year-old Lisa Edwards was discharged. Sometime around 7:40 a.m., a security guard at the medical center called 911. Referring to Lisa, he told the operator that they had a trespasser who needed to be removed. She was outside the emergency department, sitting in a wheelchair, covered in blankets. Initially, three officers responded: Brandon Wardlaw, Adam Barnett, and Timothy D'Estasio. Brandon was a sergeant and in charge of the scene. Later, an officer named Danny Dugan showed up as well. The police confronted Lisa and talked to security guards who worked at the medical center. Security told them that Lisa was walking fine, and they accused her of hospital hopping. They went on to say that she was a big pain in the blank, she blanked all over the place, and she fought with staff. Security guards claimed that Lisa had been cleared by a physician and just didn't want to leave. During the encounter, Lisa made several statements to the police officers. She said, "I've got nowhere to go. They beat me up last night. I can't even get out of here. I can't walk. I've had a stroke on my left side, and my ankle is shattered." Brandon never investigated the contradictory claims about Lisa's ability to walk and decided to arrest her for trespassing. Lisa tried to explain her situation, but Brandon interrupted her several times and repeated information he heard from the security guards. Lisa said, "I ain't done nothing. Please don't hurt." It sounds like she was trying to say, "Please don't hurt me." Brandon responded, quote, "Start talking nonsense like that and I'm done with you. You'll go to jail," unquote. He concluded that Lisa was faking her condition because she did not want to go to jail. At this point, several officers tried to move Lisa into a transportation wagon. They repeatedly failed at this. Lisa did not appear to be able to assist them in any way, and they struggled with lifting her up. The police became frustrated and said that Lisa was faking an inability to get into the vehicle. She was threatened with additional charges if she did not cooperate. Lisa made a number of statements as this was going on, demonstrating that she was in distress, including, "Please don't let me fall. I'm going to pass out. My purse, please, my inhaler. I can't breathe. And I'm going to die." The police looked for Lisa's inhaler. When they finally located it, Brandon accused Lisa of deliberately failing to use it properly. He said she was faking being out of breath. Brandon made several statements suggesting that he was impatient. He talked about how all he wanted to do was get coffee and oatmeal. He did not want to deal with Lisa's mess that morning. He said, "We've already spent too much time on you. I'm tired of this dead weight blank," referring to Lisa's inability to assist herself in getting into the vehicle. "And have you ever been to the Knox County Jail? Them dudes don't play. You may not want to pull this act." Eventually, the officers changed tactics and loaded Lisa into a police car. Timothy D'Estasio started driving Lisa to a detention facility. As this was happening, he told her to grow up and suggested that she was fine, but acting like a child. As the trip continued, Lisa stopped responding to Timothy. He spotted a reckless driver and decided to conduct a traffic stop. This occurred while Lisa was in the back seat of his police car. He checked on Lisa during the stop and found that she was very pale and unconscious. He called for medical assistance. Lisa was taken back to the same medical center where she had been arrested. The next day, February 6, Lisa Edwards died. Her cause of death was a stroke, but she had a number of other conditions that significantly contributed to her death, including cardiovascular disease, morbid obesity, chronic alcohol abuse, acute bronchitis, and COPD. Internal Affairs conducted an investigation into the behavior of the police officers who interacted with Lisa. Here's what they found. The officers felt as though Lisa was passively resisting arrest, faking medical issues, and being passive-aggressive. They believed what hospital security guards had told them and never bothered to investigate Lisa's claims. Brandon Wardlaw told investigators that he thought he had to arrest Lisa. He also claimed that after Lisa's death, he was receiving death threats. He complained that no one was trying to protect him or his family. It sounds like Brandon was playing the victim. He didn't appear to care too much about Lisa's death. Rather, he wanted everyone to feel sorry for him. Adam Barnett told investigators that he thought all the officers did their jobs fine. Timothy D'Estasio told investigators that he didn't see any indicators that Lisa could not breathe. Danny Dugan noted that he was not in charge of the scene. The investigation concluded that Brandon, Adam, and Timothy violated several code of conduct policies, including unbecoming conduct and unsatisfactory performance. Brandon was demoted from sergeant to officer. Adam was suspended without pay for 4 days. Timothy was suspended without pay for 10 days. Danny Dugan was exonerated. He was returned to his previous assignment. Investigators concluded that the actions of Brandon, Adam, and Timothy demonstrated an utter disregard for the respect of human life. The district attorney's office decided that none of the officers would face criminal charges. They said that at no time did law enforcement interaction cause or contribute to Lisa's death.
Mit der ING läuft's einfach. Banking, das nebenbei passiert. Kein Stress, kein Drama. Bei Kartenzahlungen kannst du krumme Beträge aufrunden und deinem ING-Tagesgeldkonto gutschreiben lassen. So sparst du ganz nebenbei. Die ING macht Banking easy. Für dich, für dein Leben. Do your thing.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Lisa had been discharged from the medical center, but it never occurred to the officers that her condition could have changed after being discharged. She was complaining about not being able to breathe and predicted that she was going to die of a stroke, which, of course, she ultimately did. The police believed what the security guards said and did not investigate further. It was like they didn't even believe Lisa was a real person who deserved to have her rights protected. She had no say in what happened. She could do nothing to stop these officers from essentially torturing her in the last hours of her life. Item number two, when Lisa indicated that she was fearful about being harmed by the police, Brandon appeared to get his feelings hurt. He acted as though he was disgusted with Lisa for even suggesting that the police would hurt her. As I mentioned, Brandon didn't have any empathy for Lisa. He was more concerned about alleged death threats. I find it curious that Brandon falsely accused Lisa of playing the victim when he would later actually play the victim. Item number three. At one point during the incident, Adam Barnett found Lisa's cigarettes and offered her one. Here she was clearly in distress and asking for an inhaler, and he thought that offering her a cigarette was appropriate. Not that it justifies his behavior, but sometimes officers try to encourage suspects to smoke because they believe it will calm them down. Adam also accused Lisa of deliberately failing to assist him and other officers as they were trying to load her into the police vehicle. He said Now you're starting to blank me off. At another point, he laughed at Lisa. It would appear as though Adam Barnett believed he was a tough guy. He wanted a 61-year-old, medically compromised woman to be afraid of him because he was getting angry. Item number 4. At one point, Timothy D'Estasio tried to offer Lisa some advice about breathing. He said, "You can breathe in and out." I'm surprised he didn't follow up with advice about how to walk by saying, "Put one foot in front of the other." Timothy's condescending behavior typified the police interactions with Lisa that day. Timothy told investigators that he felt as though Lisa was being disrespectful because she urinated in his car. He refused to help her after this, as she was being rude. Timothy did not secure Lisa's seatbelt when she was in the back of the police cruiser. There is the sense that none of the officers wanted to make physical contact with her. Item number 5. Danny Dugan was the only officer who seemed to appreciate the gravity of the situation. At one point he said, quote, "She's saying she can't breathe. If she falls over either way and she can't breathe, she dies. That's on me. I'm not willing to take that risk," unquote. I wouldn't exactly call Danny a champion of empathy, but at least he was willing to demonstrate some compassion and stand up to his fellow officers regarding his transportation concerns. Item number 6. I think the situation could have been avoided if the officers thought of Lisa as a human being, possessed even a tiny bit of compassion, or applied any critical thinking skills. Lisa repeatedly warned the officers that she was not feeling well, she couldn't breathe, and was close to death, but they ignored her. Rather than assuming that someone who is asking for help actually needs help, the officers assumed that she was faking it to avoid a trespassing charge. They viewed her as passively resisting arrest and wanted to frighten her with their anger, to scare her into the police vehicle. There is this sense that, to the officers, Lisa was just a nuisance. She was somebody who disgusted them. They did not want to touch her. They did not want to be near her. Nobody was inclined to deal with her. They just wanted her to go away. They didn't care where she went, just somewhere else. Lisa's impending death was inconvenient for the police officers. They had to lift her without assistance, deal with her repeated cries for help, and delay their consumption of coffee and oatmeal. Moving to my final thoughts, the last hours of Lisa's life were spent being ridiculed, mistreated, and falsely accused. The penalty for the most severe offender is that now he is referred to as an officer instead of a sergeant. It would appear as though the Knoxville Police Department wanted to attack Lisa's dignity with one final insult.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.